This is Jordan Seculo. Today on J Seculo Live, is Congress close to a deal, a new deal, on the expansion of the payroll protection benefits? We'll talk about it today with a live report from Capitol Hill today on J Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Well, it's taken some time since that payroll protection program, the loan money, ran out. But it looks like the Trump administration and Congress expect an agreement today on an aid package of up to $450 billion. It may even be more than that, like $470 billion. To boost a small business loan program that's run out of money. That's the payroll protection program. And it also adds funds for hospitals and COVID-19 testing. So along with the small business boost, President Trump said the negotiations were looking at helping our hospitals, particularly hard-hit rural health care providers. The House announced that the Senate is scheduled for a pro forma session Monday. They could vote either today or tomorrow. And the House announced it could meet as soon as Wednesday for a vote on the pending package. So this is a package which expands that payroll protection program for an additional, it gets it up to $650 billion, though that initial $350 billion has been utilized. So another $300 billion there, and $100 billion for the hospitals and testing, and then $50 billion. Than, explain this $50 billion that's for these critical small businesses.
Yeah, the original package, Jordan, included about $27 billion for economic injury disaster loans that are available to small businesses. So this $50 to $60 billion plus up will be for that portion of the program. Jordan, just simply put it, all told, it will now be $700 billion that are available to small businesses, the vast majority of it, as you said, inside that Paycheck Protection Program. And Jordan, I would just say, I just was exchanging texts from the Hill. It seems very, very close to an announcement. I think probably a vote in the Senate tomorrow, and like you said, a vote in the House Wednesday or Thursday. I think there's a good chance the Paycheck Protection Program is reopened for applications on Thursday.
Which is, Dan, I believe this is the key to getting the phase one opening. So to be able to reopen, we've got to keep people on the payroll so that these businesses can turn on the lights, if you will, kind of flip the switch.
No, I think that's right. And I think it's important to point out that the $350 billion went pretty quickly and in a rapid pace. A lot of medical practices that are essential are also being negatively impacted by this. I've been on the phone with a number of physicians in hospitals throughout the country that have had, because of the situation with no elective procedures, they're not able to perform those type of procedures that are necessary not only for people's health, but also how they actually keep their practices going. So this additional earmarking, if we get this through this week so funding can start taking place as early as Thursday or Friday, is really needed, because you're not going to successfully get into a phase one economic reopening until you've got some stability in these industries. I mean, we'll talk about this after the break. There are other industries that are just really reeling right now. Restaurants, hotels, be very difficult for them to come back. It's got to be very orderly. And just in looking at the information this weekend, what becomes clear to me as we look at this is that what we have to do at the ACLJ is work, because look, everyone's trying to help the country to continue to restore. It's going to take time. It's going to take patience. But what we need to do with the ACLJ is make sure these plans are put in place so that the needs of the American people are met.
And folks, the ACLJ is in court right now, actually, in Oklahoma, in the 10th Circuit. We've got our attorney there who's actually on one of those phone oral arguments, Ben Sisney. This is part of our 7 emergency amicus brief which we filed in 5 states supporting the ban on elective abortions during the COVID-19 medical crisis. So the ACLJ hard at work during this matching challenge month of April. If you can donate, if you're financially stable and can make a donation, it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ as we continue on in courts around the country. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Double the impact of your donation. It's a matching challenge month. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulo Live. This is Jordan Sekulo. So we're looking at whether or not Congress is ready. We expect them to pass additional funds for the payroll protection program, about a $450, we're even being told $470 billion deal that will add about $350 billion to the payroll protection program, $100 billion to rural hospitals and for more COVID-19 testing, and then about $50 billion for those small businesses for crisis loans. So that's the package being discussed right now in the U.S. Senate. They could take that up today or tomorrow. The House, the earliest they could vote on it is Wednesday. We've got calls coming in on it right now, 1-800-684-3110. About all of this, about the stimulus checks. I want to get right to the phones. Nelda's calling in from Nebraska on line one. Nelda, welcome to Jay Sekulo Live.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all you do. I have, in 2018, when I filed my taxes, I had sold a duplex, my husband and I, he has passed away, that we owned for 51 years, and I paid a terrible amount of tax of gains for the sale of that because we had never lived there. But my taxes that year were way over the $75,000, or my income, excuse me, was way over the $75,000. And before that, it was never over $50,000 for the both of us. And now it's gone back down again for 2019, but I have not been able to file yet because I'm still waiting for a corrected 1099-R from an insurance company.
Okay, so you may be able to file the abbreviated form that is available for non-filers in order to clarify your situation. Because, Stan, this is an interesting situation. You have a taxpayer that generally has income within the threshold amount, you know, under the threshold amount, so she would qualify. She had an unusual real property sale that took place that year, resulting in a capital gain, so her income was up. But, you know, they may be looking, I think when they look at your tax return, though, they may be looking at the line item before that, which is your actual income. But if not, you may be able to file. I'm not sure on this. Stan may know. You may be able to file the form for the people that have not filed. Stan?
Yeah, Jay, I think she's going to be able to qualify eventually. Look, they're basing it off her 2018 taxes, if that's the most recent they have. But ultimately, they're going to be determined on the 2019 taxes. Right. So even if she can't file it for a while, Jay, it might mean she doesn't get the stimulus immediately. But remember, this is all getting reconciled when the 2020 taxes are filed. So it may be as late as the next tax year. But as long as she qualifies economically in the income range, Jay, she is going to get that stimulus eventually. You're right. She might have to file an additional form, but she's going to get it eventually.
I think that here's what I would do. I think that look at the possibility of filing the form, the 2019 form. Try to get that corrected 1099 or whatever the form is. Is it a W-2 or 1099? Do you know?
99, because I took a partial distribution from an annuity that was a free withdrawal.
Sure. Yeah.
And I actually took it because I had to pay all these taxes for 2018, so I took it out in 2019.
Yeah, I understand completely. So I think you're going to get this if your income level this year is within that range. They are basing it off of last year's tax returns, but you may be able to file as soon as you get that corrected return file, you'll get it right away after that. It should come in, really momentarily. So your 2019 return is due technically now. What is it, July 15th, I think, is the extended date. But you could file earlier as soon as you get that. That's what I'd encourage you to do.
Yeah, thanks, you can file. Coming. Just because that deadline is now been extended does not mean you can't file now. And so that would correct the issue likely right away and may get that check to you a bit sooner. But I think the key here is the government has really broadened out and is very flexible and wants to help the people who need it the most. Rhonda on Facebook writes in, how do they determine how much money to put into these bills? So, why on this round two are they saying, well, we need another additional $350 billion?
So these are calculations that the government's making based on, in this particular case, they know they need the second phase of this because the first phase, the first $350 billion, was expended so quickly. The guarantee amount, that's what the SBA is doing here, is guaranteeing these loans, was met so quickly that they had to go ahead and go for the second phase. Now, the problem is, and Than can address this because our Office of Government Affairs is dealing with this right now, the problem is that there is, again, this jockeying for what they want added into this bill. Instead of a clean bill that would just say, okay, here's another $250 million, or billion dollars, whatever the number would end up being, they are trying to add special projects to it. So where are we on that process, Than? I know you've been in contact this morning with staff on the Hill. Where are we on that?
Yeah, I mean, the deal that they're very close to looks like it's all going to be straightforward and related to the crisis, which is a very big win, Jay. That's what we've been focused on for a long time. But it really does speak to this broader point of that none of this stuff was going to be controversial, but it was that Paycheck Protection Program that ran out of money first. So this delay that we've seen over the last week while Speaker Pelosi and Leader Schumer were asking for that wish list that you talked about, Jay, the only real thing they accomplished is that we went for a week without small businesses being able to make those applications. So I look at this $450 to $470 billion package, and I don't see anything in there that would have been objected to at any time, Jay. They should have let that $350 billion, or last week it was $250 billion, for the Paycheck Protection Program go through, and then this additional tranche could have happened this week. But Jay, to your question, the wish list that Speaker Pelosi put out about a month ago, all the things she wanted, Jay, it does not look that any of those made it in here, which is a very big win.
That's good. Very good.
All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. This is a question we've gotten a lot. Katie in Idaho on line 3. Katie, welcome to JSecu Live. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. Sure. So I'm a college student. I filed taxes this year. I'm also claimed as a dependent on my mom's taxes. And the IRS says there's no data on my return, but she didn't get extra on her return either for claiming me as a dependent. So I was just wondering what my next step should be.
Well, you're not going to, yeah. So if she claimed you as a dependent, you don't get the stimulus. Now, she did get the dependent tax credit. So that factored into the amount of tax that she was paying. But if she lists you as a dependent, you don't qualify for she will not qualify for an additional amount, is my understanding of, if you had a tax
return.
She won't
get the additional $600 because you're over the age of 16 as a college student. So she's still getting the dependent tax credit for normal tax purposes. But Katie, she's not going to be getting
that the addition to the regular either $1,200 or $2,400 stimulus, depending on whether she's filing individually or jointly with a husband, but won't be getting an additional amount because you're an adult. You are dependent for tax purposes, but not for this additional stimulus. I hope that helps answer your question. And I think we keep going back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Bill in Washington State. There's a lot of talk about this over the weekend. There's been protests happening across the country. Bill, welcome to Jay Secchio Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Jay, for taking my call.
Yep.
I wanted your opinion. Under the Fifth Amendment of our Constitution, there's a clause which talks about no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. Well, in my opinion, and I wanted your opinion, a house arrest is basically the same thing as a stay-at-home order, or the governor's so-called different way they phrase it, a stay-at-home order, is basically a house arrest. Sometimes people say,
let me clarify that, Bill, and thanks for calling in. It is not a house arrest. A house arrest means you don't leave your house. Stay-at-home orders are not prohibiting you from going to get groceries, not prohibiting you from going to a park, not prohibiting you from going to walk in your neighborhood, not prohibiting you from seeing family. You need to do social distancing, obviously. So it's different. That's very different than a house arrest where you literally are not allowed to leave your premises because you are still technically arrested. It's not this at all. I don't believe that I don't like the shelter-in-place language. I mean, it's a shelter-in-place is when you have, an active shooting situation. And this isn't that, because they are allowing people to leave to do various things. Here's what I'm saying. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Now, hopefully in the days and months ahead, we'll be able to get into phase one and then phase two. But I think the plan that has been put forward by the medical professionals in consultation with the economists is the right approach. I do not think it's a violation of civil liberties. And I think that the governors that are getting some flack here, and I understand that. Some people think they've gone too far. But the reality is that we have over 41,000 deaths in the United States, most of those taking place in four weeks. Folks, this is serious. So let's balance freedom and liberty. It's easy. With good common sense. Common sense says continue to flatten this curve.
That's right, so that we can get to that phase one reopening. I mean, the government is planning, and some states are starting already to put in motion the plans to reopen at the beginning of next month. Not all states, but some states. To get to that point, though, we better all do what we need to do to keep these numbers down, to flatten the curve, or else that will get pushed back. So the sooner you want to have that more liberty and freedom, the more right now you want to do what is being expected of all of us. We'll be right back on Jay Secchio Live.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're talking about the stimulus funds, answering these questions for you, the payroll protection plan, the new legislation to increase funds to the payroll protection plan to the tune of, well, we're looking at $350 billion potentially, so a significant increase that could come as early as Wednesday. The Senate could vote on it Tuesday, could come as early as Wednesday from the House. So this fund, which was totally exasperated the first time, could be again replenished with funds so that employers can continue to apply for those loans that can become grants to keep their people on their payroll. And I believe at this point in the pandemic, when we are starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel in some states, in some areas in our country, and we've seen it happening in some parts of the world, it's more critical now than ever that the payroll protection programs in place so that those employees are ready to go when we can kind of put the lights back on. Now, it won't be like flipping a switch and everything's back on, but when you want to restart, you've got to have people ready to restart. So we're talking about that. I also want to let you know that we've got an ACLJ senior attorney, Ben Sisney. He's participating in one of those telephone hearings in federal court right now in Oklahoma. This is one of our the seven briefs that we filed involving those states that have, we represent, I think, over 50 state legislators in that case, states that have said, if we're not going to have elective procedures during this crisis, we're not going to have elective abortions either. So he's actually participating in one of those phone oral arguments right now. So the ACLJ work continues. I want to get right back to the phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Don in Iowa, online too. Don, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question is a two-part question. If an employee elects to take the unemployment compensation instead of being paid by the employer, isn't he really elected to lose his job and not qualified for unemployment? The second part is, if the employer can't pay the employee because he's drawn unemployment, does that really make the employer subject to a loan rather than a grant?
So let me explain. That's a good question, Don. So first of all, so people understand, initially these funds, the $350 billion that's been put forward through the existing PPP program, that is initially a loan that turns into a grant, so you don't pay the loan back so long as you can maintain your employment of these individuals for 2 months. It's an eight-week period. Now, you raise a very interesting question because it's happened. Some employers, as soon as this hit, had no choice but to put people on, either they called it furlough or laid people off, and people went to unemployment. So this is the great, this is the great dichotomy. Legislation doesn't take care of everything. But you do have people that, companies that could not even wait for the loan to be processed before they had to do some layoffs.
Yeah, and the program does allow those employers to hire those employees back. I think Don is asking if maybe there's an offer to hire an employee back and the employee chooses not to. Would that impact the formula that is used for how much of this loan can be forgiven and converted to a grant? And the answer is yes, although I would quickly follow on with that and say, remember, payroll is not the only expense that can be forgiven. There's also rent, mortgage, utilities. There's various other things. So as long as an employee, Jay, I think, makes an attempt to hire their employees back, I think they're going to be able to hire most of them back enough in order to get the maximum amount forgiven. But you're right. It does have to be a qualifying expense in order for it to convert into a grant.
And also you have to understand, and it's a good point, Dan, and that is businesses are having to make decisions. The SBA loan guarantee program, the PPP, may not be the panacea to get everybody to just operate their businesses again. And now you're looking at a situation, well, this may cover for 8 weeks, but what if you're not into a phase two recovery in, you know, July or August? And there'll be, there could be some states that are not. So all of this has to be factored in. So the businesses have to make a decision. They have to evaluate the income coming in or the proceeds coming in from the loan and the ability for that business to actually function in the near term or short term. That is the calculation that business CEOs are having to make. And I don't care if it's they're running restaurants or hotels or retail stores or organizations like ours, or I can think of any industry, construction industry. Is the viability of the enterprise going to be able to continue with you? This is supposed to be a bridge to help you keep people on payroll. But if you have no revenue coming in from other sources, you may not be able to make that decision. So that's why it's just not a 1, 2, 3 and it's done.
Let's go to this question, which is just a constitutional question. Matthew in Nevada on line one. Matthew, welcome to JSecio Live.
Yeah, thanks. So here's my question. You're talking about civil rights. My understanding is civil rights are granted by the UN Charter. In other words, those rights are a privilege that we're able to exercise at the will of a government or a governing authority.
Well, let me stop for a second, Matthew. We don't, the rights in the United States Constitution, the rights recognized in the U.S. Constitution, are not based on a UN charter. They're based on governing principles codified in our Constitution. But we believe that, you know, everyone is endowed by their creator with these inalienable rights. We just happen to codify them in the form of our U.S. Constitution, our Bill of Rights. The UN Charter has nothing to do with the U.S. system of liberty and freedom. But go ahead.
Okay, so under the constitutional system, like you said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. We're endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights. The Constitution is to protect those rights. They don't grant us the rights. They're supposed to
They recognize the rights, though. So that we believe that God endows the liberty and freedoms that we enjoy. That's the basis upon which our founders put forward the constitutional framework. The document itself, though, does codify, if you will, it does codify what was recognized by our founders, that we have the right to freedom of speech and freedom of the press and interstate commerce and freedom of religion and freedom of association. That's all recognized in our constitutional frameworks. So what is the question? That's what I'm trying to get to.
Governments were implemented among men to protect these rights.
So what is your, I'm trying to figure out, Matthew, what's your argument? What are you concerned with?
Okay, my question is I claim no civil rights because I need no civil rights. My rights existed before my government did.
Okay, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? I'm trying to try to tie this. Your question says, this is what you told the screener, Matthew. I just want to know if this whole stimulus is constitutional. Let me give you the answer to that. Yes, it is.
Under what?
That answers his question.
Yeah, I think enough. Okay.
Under the spending power of Congress.
Right.
I mean, that's it. I mean, under the spending power of Congress, which is in the Constitution, is that the spending bills, they originate in Congress. It's the Article I power of the legislative branch.
Yes.
And again, that is why it is constitutional. Also, this whole natural law theory, I get that people are getting a little bit stir crazy here. Even the president has acknowledged that. That's why he's trying as quickly as possible to get us back to on track. But to get there, we need to follow some rules. Follow the guidance. It's guidance. It's not even technically rules in most places, but just guidance. Folks, we've got a second half hour coming up at JSecio Live. We'll continue to answer your questions. Take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got a matching challenge month of April. Whatever you donate, if you can donate, is doubled. Make that donation, aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad.
For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Here is kind of the big news of the week. Finally, the Trump administration and Congress feel like they're nearing a deal for $450 billion in additional stimulus funds for small businesses, hospitals, and COVID-19 testing. So again, it'd be a $450 billion package, maybe up to even $470 billion package. $350 billion of that will be going to specifically the small business payment, employee payment protection program. Then you've got money for rural hospitals and for the medical field, and then you've got money for testing, and you've got these crisis loans available too for small businesses. The question is, does it get through Congress by, you know, if the voting all occurs Monday or today or Tuesday, Wednesday, does it get through by the end of the week so that this money is available again, Thad, to the American people, to those businesses to start reapplying for those loans?
Well, it sure needs to, Jordan, because there's already been harm in the delay that Speaker Pelosi called by insisting on her wish list of policy agenda. You laid out the timeline as I understand it, Jordan. I think today or tomorrow in the United States Senate, probably tomorrow more likely. Leader Hoyer has already told his members in the House that they need to expect to be here as early as Wednesday for a passage. I think Thursday is also a possibility. But look, by the end of this work week, Jordan, that program needs to be back open. And as I look at the parameters of this deal, Jordan, I don't see any reason for anyone on either side of the aisle to object to it. It is free of Pelosi's wish list. It is all central to this program. Now, granted, I think the most urgent one is the Paycheck Protection Program. That should have been extended last week before it ran out of funds. But these other items, Jordan, they were always going to happen. There was never any objection to testing or hospital fundings or disaster loans. All of that is fine to go in there. Here's the one caveat I would give you, Jordan, and you know this as well as anyone. We have seen before when the text actually comes out, it does not reflect what has been told of us. So I am cautiously optimistic, but here's what I'll tell you we're going to do. We're going to look at the text and make sure it reflects what we're told is in there.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a big part. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Ed.
No, we're going to put a team on it. I mean, because you got to make sure that the what's in the bill is actually going to be aiding and benefiting the American people instead of pet projects and the Green New Deal and all the other stuff they try to load in the last one. So we're going to do that. I'm glad they're coming back. Now, are they going to actually, Than, have to come back into session to do this?
The Senate will not. The Senate will attempt to do it by unanimous consent. It does look like the House will need to call people back to have a quorum to take the vote. Jay, I will tell you, there is discussion of using that same session to pass some kind of proxy voting where in the future a smaller number could come back with proxies from other members to get this 100%. Done. So that might be up in the House as well.
Yeah, they've got, you know, you
I will
want
tell
to
you, I keep
votes.
Hearing this from people around the country and just around the neighborhood, if you will. They are not happy when Congress is just seems like they're not working. I mean, they want Congress to be working. They don't care if they're doing it remotely. They don't care if they're doing the legislation the way the proxy voting. They just want to see Congress working hard, passing the legislation that's necessary, like the PPP, the new funds there, but also continuing to work on new ideas to get our country working again. People want to see their Congress working in a bipartisan way. And again, I think we even heard some of that. This bipartisanship. We'll play it when we come back from the break. But again, we'll continue to take your questions about all of this, about the stimulus funds. Did you get your stimulus check? Have you received it? Did you get it direct deposit? Have you gotten one in the mail yet? Those are going on as well. If you've got questions about the new protection plan, the payment protection plan as well for employees, we want to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember to follow us at aclj.org on our social media pages as well. This is an important month for us, a matching challenge month of April. And for those of you who are financially stable and are able to donate, it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. It keeps this broadcast on the air every day so we can answer these questions. It keeps our attorneys in court. It keeps us all functioning at the ACLJ, and you can double the impact of your donation online at aclj.org. Donate today. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulo Live. This is Jordan Sekulo. Let me first, we're going to take your calls. We've got a lot of time to take your phone calls, your questions, Facebook comments as well. Let me just encourage you right now. This is a critical month for the ACLJ and a matching challenge month of April. The matching challenge means that whatever you're able to donate, this is, I'm talking to those of you who are financially stable right now and can make a $20, $30, $40, or $50 donation to the ACLJ. You can double the impact. And what does that mean? Well, if you make that $30 donation online at aclj.org right now, that's all your charge, tax-deductible donation, is $30. But it's effectively $60 for the ACLJ. And if you make it online at aclj.org, that gets to us much more quickly than donating by mail right now because of the limitations in offices being able to be open and being able to open that mail that comes in. Those donations by mail will be opened. They will eventually, again, be in support of the ACLJ. But the time to donate is now. And let me tell you why. We're in court all over the country. Now, it's different. I mean, the filings are the same, but the actual oral hearings are different because they're being done by phone. And Ben Sisney, one of our senior attorneys, is participating in one of those right now in Oklahoma, where we had that Oklahoma state legislator on last week on the broadcast who was talking about this exact action by their governor to say that if we're not going to have elective procedures, we're not going to allow elective abortions either. He's on a oral argument right now in Oklahoma by phone, but the work continues. This broadcast, the reason why we're able to broadcast you so many different ways through over 1,000 radio stations, Sirius XM, on some of those stations we're heard multiple times a day. We've also got the Facebook broadcast and the Periscope broadcast, and we keep the archive up for you so you can listen at whatever point in time of day you want through podcast or online. All of your support goes to that as well, to this part of the work of the ACLJ, this radio broadcast. So this is a great time to donate because you double the impact of your donation. Donate today at ACLJ.org. And those online donations right now mean more than ever before because it is difficult for us to get our teams in. They can only do it in a limited way to open the mail that comes in with actual written check donations. So that's a much slower process for us right now. So really help us out. Go to ACLJ.org. Donate online. I want to go right to a comment. This was Governor Cuomo just yesterday. He was asked about how the president has responded. Remember, he's a Democrat. There have been tough words exchanged between Governor Cuomo and President Trump, some things we strongly disagree with, like when he said God had nothing to do with what New York has been able to do. I think that's just a fundamental theological problem of understanding the human mind that God created for logic and reason. But he did have this to say. When he was asked, and I think this was the opportunity to hit the president, this is what he actually said when he was asked about the federal response and the president's response to New York. Take a listen.
Do I have faith in the president? Look, what the federal government did working with states, as I just said, was a phenomenal accomplishment. We bent the curve. We flattened the curve. Government did it. People did it. But government facilitates people's actions, right?
So there you go with Governor Cuomo. I want to get right to the phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Bill in California. Good question on line 5. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Thank you and all you do. I'm a sole proprietor, and I've never had actual employees other than independent contractors, and right now I don't have any. I don't see any form that claims that I can go ahead and file for the paycheck program. I have one. It's 4 pages. My CPA has it. He said I filled it out correct. But the third slot down on page 1, it says employees times 2.5, and where it says number, well, it's 0 because I can't count myself. Am I exempt because I'm a sole proprietor?
Well, why can you not count yourself? You take a payroll from your company, correct?
That's correct.
Why can you not count yourself?
Boy, my CPA gave me wrong information.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm questioning. Because partners in businesses, even if you're a partner in the business, now it's capped at $100,000 of income for their valuation determination on how much you qualify for. But that amount that you get in your W-2 would be taken in as a factor in addition to rent and overhead expenditures, utility and so forth. So you don't get it for your independent contractors because they can apply for that themselves. You can't apply for them as the independent contractor, but you, as the employer, you are still an employer. What kind of are you incorporated, or how do you have your business set up?
Consulting firm. Yeah. I'm doing business as, and it's automotive. Well, I mean, I'm in business three, four years.
Maybe something particular with your business, but if you're getting a W-2 at the end of the year from your consulting business, you're an employee. You should count, but maybe it's the way you're structured, but generally you would count. All right?
All right, here we go. 1-800-684-3110. There is some breaking news out of Israel that you've got Prime Minister Netanyahu and Benny Gantz have agreed to a unity government that extends Prime Minister Netanyahu's time as Prime Minister. I think a lot of this, Dad, probably relating to COVID-19, but it does add some stability to the Israeli government, which has been in flux, and it looks like that there won't have to be another election.
Which would have been election number 4. So the fact that they've now reached an accord, apparently, and they will form this coalition government, it allows, my understanding is, it's just breaking now, is that it's a sharing arrangement. Benjamin Netanyahu will serve as Prime Minister usually for the first 18 months, and then Gantz will come in for 18 months, and usually the former prime minister becomes the minister of foreign affairs or whatever the position they agree to. So that's how you have it. That's good for Israel. It's good for the Middle East. Good for the world. Stability in governments right now is very important because you've got instability globally because of this pandemic. Now, you know, United States and Australia are calling for a probe of China as it relates to this pandemic. And we called for that last week at the ACLJ, and we will back that up again as something we think that is necessary.
All right, let's go back to the phones again. Anthony in Georgia has been holding on. Anthony, thanks for holding on. It's a great question on line six. Anthony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Yes, question is, how can a hedge fund corporation apply for a small business loan under this stimulus?
Well, if they'd have to qualify. So that means they have to have less than a certain number of employees. There's a criteria in place. Hedge funds are not disqualified as a business operation, Than. They employ people, lots of people, and they have ongoing business expenses.
Yeah, definitely. And if they have fewer enough employees that are not making a high income, Jay, they would qualify. They would only qualify, though, not based on the hedge fund dollars. Just like the last caller, they would qualify based on a calculation of payroll. So while it might sound a little bit funny, initially to think about a hedge fund getting these funds, Jay, if that hedge fund has 10 employees that are making $50,000 each a year, those 10 employees need protection just like anybody else.
Remember the purpose of the PPP, to keep people employed. That is the goal. Now, this is a granted. I think it's very important. I'm glad they're doing this additional stimulus. But the fact is, this only covers for about 8 weeks. I mean, you're not talking about a long time. So how quickly various states can move from they got to gate their way into phase one and then really get up to phase two. And even in phase two, those that are deemed vulnerable, over 60 years old, underlying health conditions, are advised not to be present at their workplace, but to telework if at all possible. So there's a lot of phasing on this. So a lot of things have to fall in line for everything to come back full. And I think, of course, once you have therapeutics and a vaccine, I think that's when you will see things return to normal. But it's going to take those things. We're going to have to be patient here, but the American people understand that, you know, look, over 40,000 of our fellow citizens have died in a matter of weeks. It's a much lower number than anticipated, which is, Governor Cuomo, I thank God for. But that's still a big number, and it's still a lot of lives lost, and there will be more. There'll be more tonight. There are, as we're on the phone right now, or we're doing radio right now, people are dying, and that's just the way it is. That's why continuing all of the plans, the health plans, the social distancing, very, very important.
We've got a lot of calls to answer. We come back from our next break, a final segment coming up, so stay on the phone line. We will answer those calls at 1-800-684-3110. On this Israel issue, this comes from Benny Gantz. He says, quote, "I am at peace with myself and at peace with my decision. Israel needs a national emergency government, and Israel comes before all else." That's Netanyahu and Benny Gantz forming that unity government, which means that doesn't need a new election in Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu will for now stay on as the Prime Minister of Israel. We will continue to update you on that. We're going to continue to answer all of your questions that have been coming in on the stimulus, on PPE, on COVID-19. We come back from the break. And let me just encourage you, support the work of the ACLJ. One, find out what we're up to. ACLJ.org. Follow us on social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. But support the work of the ACLJ. It's a matching challenge month of April. You double the impact of your donation. That also keeps this broadcast on the air. Donate today at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org.
Things we have been trying to do on Jay Sekulow Live is help you with our legal knowledge, our legislative knowledge, our government affairs knowledge, putting that all together so that we can help you through this difficult time, especially when there's these stimulus funds available and employee protection payment plans available. And this is an interesting call coming in from Luke in Pennsylvania on line 4. Luke, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I had a question. I've filed my 2019 taxes, and I have not received the stimulus, so I went on the Get My Payment thing on the website to try to get that set up, figure out why, and when I go on there, it's blocking me, and it's because I have zero refund and zero payment due, but the site requires me to enter a dollar amount. When I enter zero, it gives me error 109 and says technical difficulty.
Okay, so it's a simple fix. There is a form that you can fill out on the website, and thank you for the particulars on this, that will let you go in and because they don't have probably a direct deposit from you capability. So there's a form you fill out. It's, I think, a page and a half. Then you want to walk them through that? Very important.
Yeah, if you go to irs.gov, there are a couple of different options available there, and I think maybe Luke is confusing them. There is one that says check your refund status, and that may not be giving him the information he needs at this point, but there is another one that says non-filers, enter payment info here. That is the link that Luke and anyone else needs to fill out if they don't think the IRS has information on them. Now, Jay, I will say this. The refund status is going to return some errors for a couple more weeks because the IRS is still receiving those forms from people like Luke. So they're not going to be able to give you a status update until they have all of that information plugged in. So make sure you're clicking the proper link. I'll say it one more time. If you think the IRS needs your information, the button you need to push, it's at the very top of irs.gov. It says non-filers, enter payment info here. I would recommend you start there and then check back in a couple of weeks and check your status.
All right, there you go, Luke. So I hope you do that, and I hope that helps a lot of other people who may be. I have a feeling every time we're answering one of these questions like that, we're answering it for thousands of people who are listening out there who are dealing with these websites, maybe for the first time ever applying for funds like this, because this is such a unique situation for our country. Let's go back to the phones again. Let's go to Lori in Washington State on line 2. Lori, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I've been following you guys for lots of years, and I just appreciate everything the ACLJ and all you guys are working so hard for us, because it's not for yourselves, it's for us, and I really appreciate that. My question today has to do with what is the governor's powers? Now, our governor here in the state of Washington, I live in Washington State,
right.
Jay Inslee has been restricting things that nobody else has done. I don't know if you guys are aware of it.
Yeah, I am.
We can't go fishing, for example, but no one else has decided that that's a problem.
Right.
We have a lot of water. We can be a lot more than a lot of social distancing
right.
Anywhere on the waters that are here. But he, yesterday, after watching what was going on in Olympia, the protests we had, and there were, I don't know if you heard the truth, I'm not sure you did, there were over 2,500 people that got out of their cars, but many, many more people who were in their cars that right. did not get out that were also involved in the protests. But he said, you guys are all breaking the law. And I want to say, that's not true, is it?
Well, here's what it is. The right, the freedom of assembly under the Constitution cannot be eliminated by the governor of a state. So people have the right to assemble. What you can put in place, what the Supreme Court has consistently held is constitutional with regard to the freedom of assembly, are what's called content-neutral, reasonable, time, place, and manner restrictions. So, for instance, in this situation that we're in with the pandemic, Laura, you're right. The governor can't say no public assembly. But what can be put in place, what the government can do, is say, but if you are going to assemble, you have to have a mask, or you have to say 6 feet apart, or you have to, whatever other social distancing requirements are in place, so long as it's content neutral, so long as it's a reasonable in light of the circumstances. That's constitutional. What is not constitutional is saying people cannot assemble. But if people are assembling and they're violating those time, place, and manner restrictions, like not doing social distancing, not wearing a mask if that's what is being required by the government, then they are subject to being charged with a violation of the law. But assembly itself, protected, content neutral, time, place, and manner restrictions are how these are responded to.
You know, I think, too, I think the president is right. I think there are a few governors across the country, not most, but a few, who have gotten a little power hungry with this and a little bit too intense with this on their own people.
You can't declare martial law, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like they want to declare – it's like almost declaring it. And I think that's what's causing these protests, is because the governors are not clearly putting out their message. And again, they're using threats instead of just talking to people in a common sense manner. Interesting question here. Tiffany in Oregon, line three. Tiffany, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my small call. My question to you is, can I file multiple applications for the PPP?
Yeah, so believe me, I've been handling this weekend. So Tiffany's a very timely call. Here is the question, because some banks say, well, we're out of money, or we're out of the loan guarantee, or our capitalization doesn't allow us to provide any more of these PPP loans. So, yes, you can go to another bank. What you need to do is notify the existing bank to withdraw the application. It's mostly done electronically, obviously. And then you apply to another bank. But that's the way you do that. You're not going to qualify for two loans, obviously, but you're trying to get to a loan that you, a bank that has funds to loan. So, yes, you can.
All right, there you go, Tiffany, and I hope that answers a question for a lot of people, too, is that you could go to multiple banks to put in those loans. You're not going to get more than one loan, but to try and find a bank that's got the funds available. And then remember, there should be, towards the end of this week or early next week, new funds available allocated to these banks as well. But again, take these opportunities and take every opportunity you can to protect your employees, to protect yourself during this time. Let's go to Linda calling from California, line one. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
My question is, trying to find out if I qualify for the refund. Yep. On a regular basis, I make about $74,000 a year.
Yes.
Last year, I took out all of my 401k, so that bumped me up over 200-something.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if I do qualify.
Yeah, you need to file your 2019 return. Just file your 2019 return where you will not have that distribution on it, and I'm assuming you'll then be under the $75,000. It sounds like you'll be fine.
All right, let's take the final call of the day. Sue in New York on line six. Sue, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Sue. Quick.
Thank you. You guys are the best.
Thanks.
I have not received my stimulus check.
Okay,
and I read on the internet that people who owe money to their bank may not get it because
that's
the
not
bank
true.
Will take it.
They cannot do that. They cannot do that.
Yes, the program does not allow for wage garnishment or other
or
garnishment.
Set-offs.
That is not correct. That's right.
No. So whatever, Sue, whoever's telling you that, they're wrong. You need to notify them of that. It is not allowed to be done as a set-off or a lien. So it's to keep you enabled to pay for groceries and rent or whatever you've got to do.
You know what this
right,
is,
well,
too? There's a lot of misinformation out there. Scam artists trying to say, hey, this could happen to you, so pay us so it won't happen to you. It's not going to happen to you. You don't need to be paying anybody. You're going to get the check. The check is going to be for you. No one's going to take it away from you unless you give it to them, like to one of those scam artists. Don't fall for the scams. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation or matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.